This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
Hi, this is Sarah Silverman. Why don't you stick around and see what happens next?
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
So good to see all of you.
I'm looking at a lot of different monitors, and I'm playing with my shot because it's like when we get this, it makes it go the other way. I'm good.
When it has, when you say
some saliva down,
when you said
Josh,
what does
was
this
just making
what?
Me laugh. Here it is. Right before we were taping, Rob said he's going to run out and get a soda, and I was taken back because I said the last time he was almost dead, the doctor had said stay away from soda, and I said, well, I hope it's not a sugary soda. And then Josh held up a seltzer, said, no, it's one of these. And then you came back to the show and you had a Sunkist.
Well, you know,
zero.
You're both
and then,
right.
And then you invoked the name of your father who,
right.
You know, we used to drink them.
Right.
And
like a protection method.
Like, no,
don't
it was
fun
just
of me for soda because of my dad.
It had nothing to do with that. And by the way, Josh, I do have a seltzer as well. I have a polar lime soda or a flavored seltzer.
But are you supposed to be drinking even diet soda at this stage with your most recent health scare?
I've been prescribed to drink it. I have to drink it.
He's lying.
I am lying. He said the sugar is the problem. And, everything has been taken away from me and I want something bubbly and I'm trying to find what's best. As far as, you know, diet sodas, which mostly suck. The seltzer is a good compromise, but I like sometimes a little more flavor than that.
And I'm not anti-soda. I just know Mike was set up to...
I'm not drinking a soda right now. Right. I drink a liquid
but I know
IV
you were
and
set
I
up,
drink a Diet Coke.
You were all set up to yell at Rob about having a Coke. And then he comes out with a Sunkist and his dad, and then you can't say anything.
Well, no,
that's what was making you laugh.
That's what you were laughing at. Okay.
Yeah, he shut you down.
Well, it wasn't meant to shut him down in any way. It was just what popped to mind, and it's why I tried this particular brand. As my father would drink a lot of beer, especially when I was around, we'd drink a lot of beer together. And he didn't drink much after dinner, so we'd tend to eat late, and we'd drink beer, and we'd drink beer, and we'd drink beer, and then we'd eat, and he might have one or two more beers. But when he was done drinking beer, he would open up an orange soda, and he liked Sunkist Zero, and that's what I think of when I see it. That's
okay.
All. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it wasn't meant to as a tactic, certainly. It was just what was on my mind.
No, I didn't think it was a
tactic. But Josh accused me of having a tactic with it. He said I was trying to shut you down, in fact, I wasn't.
Whether you had a tactic or not, it did shut down Mike.
I've worked with Mike longer than you, and it wasn't that Mike was shut down. It's just that Mike stopped caring. He was done. I answered the. I mean, am I right? I'm right.
It's the same thing that my concern is that you don't do anything you're not supposed to do. I get freaked out when I see you take a pull on a nebulizer vape. Or a breathalyzer or not a breathalyzer. What are those things?
An inhaler, Mike.
An inhaler.
Yeah, and actually, I haven't used the inhaler in over a week.
Great. Okay. Because but I just freak out. And
you must mean
Mike
the Palmacourt inhaler right here, which looks like something that could save your marriage. But instead, this is not a type inhaler, like, you know, an L-shaped one in the old days.
I'm sinking in my chair.
You are, and I'm trying to match your head level, and I can't do it.
I got to get a new chair.
Yeah. Oh, wait, don't you have a really expensive chair, though?
Yeah, that I've had for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to buy chairs, Mike, make sure you send some to the junkies.
Yeah.
Well, that's
the problem with
chairs. You can't. Yeah, the junkies steal all the chairs.
No,
they steal the good chairs. No,
no,
mm-mm. No. I when I took over the afternoon show?
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, as a gesture of goodwill, that at that particular point we started sharing a studio. Did we not?
Yeah, well, you were making efforts for all of us to get along because we had gone through an
era.
Not
that we ever didn't get along, but Don had some issues with the junkies, but I never did. But I think I was...
You were paying them off to not judge you on Don's.
No, not at all.
That's what it sounds like.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, start over.
Let's go back to what happened.
Yeah.
And fill in the blanks as best you can, Rob Spiewak.
Okay.
All right?
Because you
were there when I thought that we shared a studio, which we did.
We shared a
studio with the junkies when my show started. We moved into the other studio.
We had one room that was known when we started there as Production One. It was not the Air Studio. And what happened is they wanted to have a studio that was better suited for a larger show like the Junkies because they have four primaries and occasionally guests. So they moved the actual studio, the Air Studio.
Shut up, Winslow!
Oh, well, I'm glad you said Winslow because I thought perhaps...
Michael!
Shut up.
Michael, I'm trying to make a living in here.
Is my level okay, Josh?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so. All right, so what happened?
They rebuilt that studio.
It's twofold. We walked in, and the chairs were terrible.
Yeah, it was horrible. They did everything.
It was like
everything at CBS, it was a rush job.
And it was run down, and it was not horrible. And we had moved back from Rockville, Maryland.
Another rush job, yeah.
Right?
And it was going to be... We had a certain person in management there, and we don't need to say names, Jeff Hedges, that was excited that all the shows were going to be originating from one building, and it was going to be a new time of synergy.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, he was excited about the synergy that we were all going to be in the same building together.
I was not even aware of that myself.
He loved that. I mean, because we had the junkies in the morning.
That was what was great about the listening to WJFK then, is the synergy that the shows crossed over because you were all in the same building.
But before that, there was no synergy because we were largely from different locations, and the certain personalities that worked there didn't want to get along with other shows.
Yeah.
It was like there was a competition that you would want to reserve for another station. The competition was inside the building, and that's not healthy.
So when we finally got back, it's one of the first things that I did. I said, let's get back to
goodwill.
And you, Rob wanted to go there. I wanted to go there. And so we went back in, and then we were sharing a studio. And I said, these chairs are suck. You know, I think it'll be a really nice gesture if I pop in the three, four new office chairs to do that. And so I bought them and I put them in the studio. And then, you can take it from here, Rob, because they were not. It was a bit disappointing that the chairs lasted, what, a week?
I believe within 2 days, there were holes in the arms of the chairs because...
Leather armrests.
Yeah, nervous disc jockeys.
Or vinyl. On the air. They were
but
cheap.
I mean, still leatherette, but still, they looked fine. They were brand new, but pens and pencils would get poked
into. Which junkie was the picker?
I think they all were because
you remember the one you thought was the ultimate one.
I don't have...
It was Cakes.
Cakes seems to have that.
Do you remember now?
Energy.
Do you remember now?
I guess it makes sense. But the problem was...
Cakes had fucking shredded chairs that I bought.
He didn't just poke at them because once there were holes, then there was picking.
He started to pick at them like an episode of The Birds.
See, disc jockeys are prone to do this. In old days when microphone screens were metal with fabric... like inside them, a lot of times you go and all the fabric would be gone because a bored disc jockey would take a sharpened pencil and poke all the holes out on the microphone, causing hundreds of dollars of damage because you're bored. Also, big hunks of the wooden side.
I'm so sorry.
All right.
I'm so sorry. I haven't been doing my duty. We have to check in with somebody. It's time to check in with Larry Pennington today.
Oh, good.
We have to check in with Larry Pennington. If we could do that, Josh, I would really, really appreciate that.
Hello. Pennington. Welcome to
my
thrifted home here in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. It is Saturday. We are going to go. Well, we think we're going to go to the Blue Moon. They have that half price happy hour. We might go to the club. We might go to the Top of the Pines. It's one of those we haven't decided. Chris and Ken are out of town. We usually don't get together with friends on Saturday unless we're all going to the country club,
which sometimes we do.
That's one of our nights that is not set in stone.
Yeah, I think this must be a recent one.
D-Day, We are a military family. Dave was in the Air Force 25 years, retired.
Okay.
Also right. in Vietnam. So we're wearing red, white, and blue. We have our wonderful little flag pins.
Are we going to see what Dave...
And I'm wearing white linen pants, blue
belt. He likes those white linen pants. Shoes.
Yeah.
And what's gold jewelry with my lapis ring to go with all the red, white, and blue. Dave is wearing one of those shirts we bought, that whole haul that we got in
one of those shirts.
Suffolk at Belk. He's got another one he's never worn tonight that he's wearing, and he's going to make it work for red, white, and blue. Let's see what he's wearing right now.
Let's see
Here
what
he comes.
Dave?
Oh, they have a piano. I wonder which one plays.
Oh, he's wearing his
this
Nantucket
is a long
red.
Long.
Yeah.
That's his version of the red for tonight. He has that new shirt on, which has starfish and I don't know what else. It's
oh, I think that hat cheapens anyway. The outfit.
I might agree.
And
we
his
should stand a little closer. I can't.
Red, white, blue style. Hat. His stars and stripes hat. So,
stars and stripes. Yes.
And it's hot. I'm wearing this is that is. That is Belk, the shirt's from Belk, the jacket. This jacket's from J. Crew. It is seersucker.
Okay.
Yeah. And Bob's your uncle. Have a wonderful
there
day.
You go. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks. Sorry,
you
Rob.
You see, a hat can make an outfit or ruin an outfit. And mm-hmm. I think that Larry had a nice hat.
Well, I think you
it's almost
certainly...
like it's almost like they wanted Dave to look silly.
Well, I mean, you know, that's your opinion, but I mean, you certainly know hats and you know how to speak of hats.
That's
true. I get
that.
But back go ahead.
I'd like to stick with Larry for one more moment.
Okay.
Because I got curious during his video and I went to ChatGPT and said, "Where did Larry meet David?" and it came out and I said, "Where did Larry Pennington meet David?"
Are we allowed to guess before you reveal it?
Sure, but you're wrong.
Okay,
no matter what
I was
you say,
guess,
you're not going to guess what this thing says.
My guess is that when David was in the service, Larry was in the USO.
Okay. All right. Stop it. Now he's, you know, this is like a new toy that he can't play with.
Do you have a guess, Mike, where they met?
Yes. Josh, can you read the GPT thing?
Yeah. According to available biographic information, Larry Pennington and David met at an elementary school where Larry was David's first grade teacher. They then later married, and after David's 25-year career in the Air Force.
Mm. That means there's quite an age difference.
Yeah. It doesn't look like it.
No, unless...
Well, I mean, that could be 15 years, 20 years.
Yeah, or Larry could have been, you know, a very bright young man and got his degree early, or maybe David was left back a few times.
This is on an article about them on the Camp Rehoboth Community Center.
That's a great website. I'm surprised I didn't ever see it there.
The
time.
I bring something to school, and then my friends play with it more than I play with it, and they ruin it for me.
I don't think we've ruined it.
We just want to see more of David.
Yeah, we do. And I really, you know what? I hope that's the most recent D-Day that they filmed that, because if they've gotten into the habit of making long, swooping entrances like an MGM movie in the 1930s David, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know which one plays the piano.
I'm hopeful that the internet is wrong about this and they screwed up a Larry and a David.
I'd rather not have you do any more prodding of this. This is
that's
fine,
what David said.
Josh, we put this into would you put this into ChatGPT for me, please? The word of the day is micro-cheating. Micro-cheating.
Does it have to do with the guy from Dirty Jobs?
I think it has to do with online following or commenting with someone who is not your significant other.
I've got a list of examples.
All right. Great. Very good.
It would be flirting with someone through text or social media, hiding conversations with someone from your partner, keeping a dating app just to look, regularly liking or commenting on one person's photos, or having an emotional connection with someone.
Stop it right there, because the late, great HBS
I was going to say, you're describing my father to a T.
One of the great micro cheaters. Mm-hmm. God love Kathy, who I gave a big hug to at the memorial service.
That was micro cheating.
That was
when you hugged her. I came up and I said, a little early to be hitting on the widow, isn't it, Mike? When you fly up north, cross state lines, and leave your wife at home.
That was one of the times where I went over to speak with her and I don't know what there's a term for it. When you're speaking to someone and somebody interrupts, somebody like completely comes in and carpet bombs that. No, that's really not it,
especially for an outside venue.
When someone all right, you know this. You've had it. We've all had it happen to us where you're talking to somebody. Maybe the comments, and I haven't been looking at them today. Maybe they can help me with this. You're in the middle of a conversation, and it's somebody you really want to talk to. It might be somebody important that you want your quality time with, like a coach at a baseball game. I have the varsity coach who I've, on two separate occasions, been having a conversation with, and a person will come in, very pushy person will come in and will be interrupting my conversation and just take over the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I'm a pretty well-versed person in conversation, and I also know how to hold my own, so it's very disconcerting when that happens. So that happened to me when I was talking to your father's widow, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, isn't a grenade the woman who goes out with the girl who goes out with another girl and messes up your relationship?
I think
if you're trying to hit on a particular girl, they bring a grenade with them.
I don't think it's limited to a certain sex or gender. I think it's anyone who comes along to ruin the possibility of a hookup is a grenade. That's
but it wasn't a hookup. I'm just trying. Right. When you're at a memorial, the person you want to talk to is the widow. Yes.
The kids describe it as main character syndrome or main character energy, that someone comes in and needs to take over the whole conversation.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not sure. But getting back to the reason we were talking about this, the micro cheating that that Bob would do was really not specific to one person, was it? I mean, it was a lot of different.
No, it was,
did he ever, to the best of your knowledge, because you're his son,
I am.
Did he ever spend more time interacting with some of these ladies? Because I certainly think that would have been a possibility.
I can only think of one, and that was Mrs. Marcus Serta. He was all over that.
You're being just silly.
That is silly.
You're being really, really silly.
No, I don't think he had anyone. He would, but you see, he would micro cheat with a celebrity like Mamie Van Doren, who is now 100 years old. But he would fawn over Mamie Van Doren.
Right.
But it's not cheating if Kathy's aware of it and shakes her head ruefully when it happens.
Or is it cheating?
Well, I don't know, because it says you're hiding from your partner.
She had to tell him that's enough.
Mimi Van Doren? No, never did.
With any?
No, I don't think so.
Would be, the reason he got the name Horny Bob Spiewak is an HBS later on, is because he would be always on, and really we were with him at the beginning, the genesis of the Book of Faces, when everybody was starting to get into it, and he would be very exuberant and lived on it. And specifically would never miss a good-looking lady.
And he would provide his own good-looking ladies. He did his pinups. You know, he was all about it. But if it was a real person, a real accessible Facebook friend, for example, early on in the years of Facebook, he went through my list of friends and started friending people, ladies, that I went to high school with. And I think
how did that happen? He went to your page?
And he searched friends. And I don't know if he knew if he targeted them as class of 89 people, but it turned out. And I think a lot of people accepted the friendship request because we had the same name. And if you're not looking really closely at the... Now, remember, my father, much better looking than me. and every and
back,
way.
Back in the day, oh, I mean, that was his...
Like a supermodel he was.
M.O.,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but if they just saw like a little, like a dime-sized picture of a handsome fellow named Robert Spiewak, maybe they're in. And he then, like, let's say he friended someone I know named Christy. And then it would be her birthday, and it was, yay for Christy. Or if Christy worked in a certain business
but
and she closed the deal, yeah.
But always at arm's length.
Yeah, I don't think he ever ever called anyone on it. Like, you know, trying to
take it to
the next level.
I think if you're talking about I don't know whether it's been thoroughly defined or not, but if you're talking about micro cheating, you're really focused on a particular individual, and you probably have is it micro cheating if Carla slips off to sleep and I'm watching
if the spouse
video,
is sleeping, it doesn't count.
if she falls asleep,
yes,
and I'm watching a video of a Dua Lipa concert,
right?
Is that micro cheating?
Well, do you feel that you're watching the Dua Lipa concert with hopes of getting to know Dua and perhaps having
no.
a time with? And that's not cheating. It's a concert.
Is the sound on or off?
On.
Headphones
with my,
or
with
enjoying
my,
the music.
My AirPod, my yeah. AirPods Max.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
By the way, my AirPods Max that connect with everything but what I want to connect with. So, in other words,
Carla
will call me. When Carla will call in.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing how much time when I retire in the evening and I jump into the marital bed.
Yeah.
And Carla is playing her game on her phone, mm-hmm. and I'm on my computer, it sometimes takes me a ridiculous amount of time to connect my AirPod Maxes back to my computer in the short walk that I've had from the living area to the master bedroom.
Even if you come with the laptop and the headphones at the same time, they disconnect?
Last night was insane.
And you know
sometimes
what it sounds
I'll
like
have to
me?
You know when they say, forget this device?
Yeah.
I have to forget the device twice before it'll connect back to my headphones.
It sounds to me that your headphones are micro-cheating on you.
That's exactly what... Now you're being silly again.
No,
you're
not, I'm not. You know, they're
I'm
finding
some
something else.
Legitimate... No, I do not require a tissue, Jimmy Hoffa, when I'm finished watching.
That's not okay.
But
that
I will
would be
watch,
macro-cheating
I
anyway.
I watch generic... You know, for example, is it micro-cheating... If someone is not paying attention to what I'm doing and looking over my shoulder, and I'm watching Northern European pole vaulters of the female form.
Oh, female ones, yeah. No, I don't think so, because you're not trying to get with... Nor was it micro-cheating the other day when you and I were watching the video of Anne Margaret. For one particular reason we were watching that video,
mm-hmm.
but it's not cheating because we weren't hiding it.
Okay.
I can be a little bit of a flirty guy myself, especially when I was drinking. And I think it is best, the micro cheating has to be, I think, defined by the opponent or your wife or whatever you call them. And like, there is a picture of me.
Hey, Josh, doesn't it sound like Rob has like been into the gummies today? You know him better than I do.
No, it sounds like he's had this conversation before about where the line is.
All right. Have you had a gummy?
I have not. Not in weeks.
Okay.
A right, week anyway. Checking. So there is a 2 days. Well, yet last night, but certainly not during the day.
Right, Sunday.
There is a picture at a WJFK event with me laying a rather significant kiss on our business manager, Miss Bobby, and in the background, Carrie is laughing at it. And so because of that, I mean, a kiss on a coworker could absolutely be even more than micro cheating. But if your wife is
not
there and laughing
Dominion.
At you, no.
Mm-hmm.
No micro cheating at King's Dominion.
But it's micro cheating would be liking a photograph of someone you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In hopes of advancing maybe the relationship a little bit.
Or texting someone and saying, I really appreciate where you do. And you can see where. It's a slippery slope.
It is. Like, would it be okay if someone that I knew that I'd never had a relationship beyond a friendship with, what if I said, you look like a knockout? Is that cheating?
It's not micro-cheating.
No,
it would be if you know the person.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it would, and, if you know the person, you say you are gorgeous or you are a knockout of somebody that's like comparable in age or not even comparable, but someone who you know personally, that's micro cheating.
What if they're cheat baiting you by putting up a picture of themselves where they know they look good?
Because they are putting it up, not it, if they're putting it up just for you. Who puts up a picture
that doesn't look good?
Who's the narcissist now if you think that someone who posts a picture, a good-looking picture, is directing it solely at you?
Well, no. Well, the I'm caption not saying it was says, directed what do you think, Rob? No, it doesn't say that. You guys are taking this the wrong way.
Right.
I'm saying, let's say it's summertime, and
summertime.
If they put up a picture of perhaps someone at the beach in a bathing suit, and they put it up because they know they look great. And they're sort of casting a line out there for people
but
to
why
say,
is it for you?
You look great. It's not for me. It's for everybody.
Yeah, but the only time you're micro-cheating is if you respond to that person you know and say, that is, that really shows off your breasts.
Hey, great ass is what I usually write.
Right. No, it's just, gotta go there again. Pictures. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Bagadona says Rob's lips are macro cheating. Rob, are they bad today?
They're not.
Okay.
I don't think they're worse than normal.
They seem red.
That's just lip gloss. I want my mouth
I'm
to
just
pop.
Checking. I'm just
don't, I'm don't just micro checking. Cheat with me. Are you saying I look like a knockout?
No.
You are, aren't you?
I think the problem is grossed the out. Term micro cheating. It's not a real thing. It's never been a real thing. It's just some new slang, and it's really just whatever your spouse or partner is comfortable with.
And, Mike, in the old days, it was just called being courteous. You look nice today.
In the old days, it was easier.
In what capacity?
I'll tell you exactly. And not long ago, Rob, to something, I'll give a great example.
It's a great one.
Because you had the supper club. Whatever you had the neighbors.
There was never a sleepover. It's now disbanded. It was four couples that lived in the vicinity, and we called it our supper club.
And anybody could have a group of neighbors that they socialize with.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk in, you see couple one, couple two, then you get to couple three, mm-hmm. and you're particularly interested in couple three because the wife of in couple number three is somebody that you are, formidably attracted to. And so it's just like, hey, how you doing, Peggy? Hi, Rick. Good to see you. Oh, Judy and Russ. Good to see you. And then it's like, well, hello, look who's here. And that was the form of micro cheating.
Well, but by definition, all spouses were attending every supper club. So is it micro cheating if you're doing it in front
of
your spouse?
Well, who's the lady that you showed a picture of and I thought was fetching and I used to make commentary about it?
Was it Haiti?
What's that?
I think it was Haiti.
The last name. What was the last name? I think they're divorced now.
The Chubbicks.
Are they split?
They are. And I believe I know that Rob has remarried.
Okay.
And I congratulate him on that.
Are you still in contact with them at all?
Vaguely. I will send him a text on his birthday. He moved to North Carolina, and she's elsewhere as well.
Yeah.
Julia is still close friends with the daughter. So, I mean, they're not out of our life.
Life goes on.
It does. And that made that, I'm not saying blame. I'm just saying that this is what happens is when you have eight people that are well-balanced like that.
Chubs.
No, it's not. JLP, you stop it. Don't cause trouble. They were good friends.
They're hanging on every word today. They're very active. A super chat would be nice. There's passive-aggressive Mike. Hey, can we check in? The producer is telling me there happens
the
to be...
The producer is?
The producer is telling me that there happens to be Larry standing by again.
Oh, okay.
I guess they're going out again. I'm not sure whether...
I'm Larry Pennington. Welcome to my thrifted home here in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. It is Monday. I have an appointment with my neurologist this afternoon, so we're all dressed to go to that. And then afterwards, I believe we're going to go to the Blue Moon and see John Flynn, and I think that will be lovely. So I am wearing, this is that new Seersucker shirt that I just love, and I paired it with this Nantucket red jacket from Belk.
Pants
this
is from Belk, the jacket is from producer. Belk.
Pants are... Perry Ellis, they're linen. I bought them at Belk's. And then I have on these wonderful boat shoes that match my jacket. So
they're not
wearing a little white pocket square. and a nice little pin. I've got my gold jewelry on today.
Of course
now,
you do.
Now, let's see what Dave is wearing.
Dave!
David, yay!
Come on in, Dave.
Oh,
Dave!
Another long entrance. I love it.
He has on the light blue, and he has this wonderful... this is linen.
Is this not the greatest thing that's on the internet right now?
And it's just a gorgeous linen.
I think it's fabulous.
Beautiful colors.
David does look younger.
Oh, and his blue suede shoes. Oh, I love those blue suede shoes.
Oh, that's like an Elvis thing. Yeah, I like that.
And
there he goes.
Bob's your uncle. Bob's your uncle. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Dave.
You know what? Pennington's hat was too big for him. I think he might have thrifted it off.
I think that's the best thing right now on the internet. And that to me just shows what
it's all
about.
I think it's the second best thing, Mike. Have you seen TMOSpodcast.com?
It's absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
Check it out
each
and every day.
Mm-hmm.
You really, really should.
Maybe we should close the show with me saying Bob's my father.
And Bob's your father. I should probably say that.
I wish you would. I wish we could have a T-shirt.
You say, love you, Pop, and then I go, and Bob's your father.
I love you, Pop.
There you go. But, I mean, really, what consistent quality they, you know, with their outfits each and every day, dressed to the nines. I think I saw a clip on their website or on their channel where they were all at a big party.
Yeah, at the Blue Moon.
And I don't think it was the Blue Moon, but they were the best dressed by far. It was at a regular beach house party where people were walking around in regular casual clothes, and there they are looking fantastic. You know,
always fascinated with your algorithm, how you can go from bikini fishing to Larry and David as you're just scrolling.
You know, and Larry and David is funny. Isn't that a company, Larry and David? And
well,
isn't Larry David?
Larry David, who has that new show on HBO.
What's the company
HBO
that sells food? Isn't it Larry and David? Don't they sell
Harry
like,
and David.
Harry and David.
If
there
you want
is.
To pay $6 for a peach, that's
there
the place
it is.
To go. Or
like the expensive fruit baskets.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's not related to them. It's They're not expensive fruit baskets, are they?
Ad Revival or Ad Reval or whatever, Addy Ravel said they remind me of the Birdcage.
I disagree.
That's Addy Ravel. His last name, Captain Obvious, ladies and gentlemen. There we are. Let's take a break. We've got tidbits. For you.
I love tidbits. And maybe soon we can get to the bottom of what this Blue Moon is. I don't know if it's a restaurant or a nightclub or what is it?
Well, you know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about that thing you were going to bring up a long time ago. The things that a narcissist says.
Ah, yes, yes.
I am excited to talk about that. But first, we have some interesting things that I gather each and every day and share with you. You can eat right
You've
after
gleaned
this.
Them, yes. They're
Thank
tidbits.
You. Appreciate it. Friends, a quick warning. Beware of the takers. You know the type. They listen to the free show Monday through Thursday and give nothing back. Tisk, tisk. For shame. But us, we're different. We're the givers. We give you the bonus show every Friday. We've got the goods, unfiltered, unrestricted, all access and fun. Because more access means more laughs. You deserve the good stuff, the extra stuff. We're talking TMOS extras. Unpredictable bonus content you won't find anywhere else. Or go big with the commercial free feed, complete with the bonus show every single week. Sign up today because your bonus subscription keeps this whole party rolling. You fuel the fun, and we keep it coming. So smash that bonus show tab at MikeOMaraShow.com and jump in. The water's fine. Be a giver. It feels great, and the laughs are guaranteed. I want to point out that this particular show relies on your support and your super chats. And I want to just say again, we don't say it enough. We mention it when somebody does it, but we are eternally grateful when you do that, when you buy the bonus show, when you support this little enterprise that we have here. And thank you for all the people that have been so generous to us over the years. We really, really appreciate that. Now you can hit the news music if you don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind at all. Yeah.
You know, there was a time when Blake Lively, to me, was just really one of the hottest actresses in Hollywood, and she had a great career. I liked her movies. And then...
what would you be the best? Blake Lively sort of is in a blind spot for me. I can't play... I know the name, but I can't place who she
is. I believe she plays a tough, hard-scrabble South Boston chick in The Town or The Departed. I forgot which one it is. I think it's The Town. And
is she married
good at that.
To someone famous? Was she married to Iron? Not Iron Man.
She's married to Ryan Reynolds.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah.
Isn't she? She is from Gossip Girl. And
yes.
She is in The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants and The Town.
Yeah,
Traveling
the town.
Pants.
The Town was fantastic. Okay. Well, Blake Lively has, let me hear my thing. Hold on.
Yeah,
I don't want to forget that. Bob's your uncle. Where
Bob's
is
my father.
Yes, married to Riley.
Wait a minute.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Right. He's fun. So,
where is it?
Ryan Reynolds. He owns a cell phone company, no? Mint Mobile,
yeah,
Bob's your uncle.
I believe so.
It's Bob's your uncle cellular.
You'll have to hit it, Rob.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Not at all. Ladies and gentlemen, the news.
Blake Lively has officially filed a massive legal motion today requesting that Justice Baldoni pay her, Justin Baldoni, I believe it is, pay her more than $8 million in attorney's fees and litigation costs. The submission comes immediately in the wake of the high-profile court settlement ending their lengthy legal battle. Well, it sounds like it's not over.
Yeah.
But that's the blockbuster film that is called It Ends With Us, and there was all sorts of trouble between those two. Legal analysts say the multi-million-dollar request marks a major escalation in the bitter and public fallout between the movie's two co-stars. I don't know what happened between them, but this goes on and on, and I thought it had been settled, and now it's not settled. And he plays kind of a philandering douche in this particular movie. So
she sounds like she's trouble. I'm going to go against
cheaper
her.
Lawyers.
Yeah.
You think so? Yeah. Really?
$8 million for legal?
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Hit the thingy again because we're rapid fire today. Speaking of legal, the Kanye West lawsuit has closed. Legal representatives for Kanye West are rapidly closing in on a final settlement regarding the severe, this is what they call it, severe sexual assault lawsuit filed against the mogul. Disclosures from inside the courtroom today confirm that both sides have virtually agreed on financial reparations. I know my way around legalese. That doesn't mean it's over yet, though, right?
I think it's as over as the war is over.
The move will prevent the high-profile matter from heading to a public trial, just as retail ventures for his brand are set to relaunch. So he's trying to do this quietly out of court. And
if my father was with us, I know what he'd say. He'd say, yay for yay.
Yay for yay. What is your feeling, either one of you, on Dave Portnoy? How do you feel about the guy that does the, well, he has Barstool Sports, he's a mega billionaire and all that stuff, and he's got the pizza
show.
He's an impressive guy. Rob,
I hate him.
You don't like him?
No, because he's more successful than me, so I hate him.
He put in a lot of hard work with a self-printed newsletter to then turn it into that empire.
So,
what do you have, like a Ditto machine?
Yeah, like he would print it out in his like dorm room and go hand it out.
See, I hate
it. At the buses.
Okay.
And subway.
All right. Well, he dropped a bombshell in court disclosures today involving the Call Her Daddy podcast networks. Mm-hmm. That's the big one. Revealing accusations claim that, I should say, this is very poorly written. Revealed accusations claim that popular media hosts Alex Cooper and Sophia Franklin. Do you know those two, Josh?
I don't know them.
You know your way around the
Alex
bar, Cooper Barstool
is
people?
Alex Cooper has the Call Her Daddy podcast, and it was a big deal that she left the Barstool Network a few years ago.
Apparently, the big bombshell is that the hosts, Alex Cooper and Sophia Franklin, plan to break their contracts by fabricating sexual harassment claims against Barstool management. Portnoy testified that the recently uncovered emails proved the strategy was a coordinated extortion plot to force an early exit from the company. Well, that's interesting that they got hold of those emails, but it's a big deal. And it's the world of podcasting that we live in right now. And he's kind of an outspoken dickyish kind of a guy. Mm-hmm. So
his
opinionated.
This came out with him promoting his new book that comes out like next week, which is Cancel Me If You Can. So he's kind of trying to push the limit.
All right. I like what he says about the Red Sox ownership, though. So that's where I like Dave Portnoy.
Do you think the stuff got out because he has a book coming up?
Well, it sounds suspicious.
Yeah.
If this is going on and he's promoting something.
Yeah.
God, I get tired of this manipulation.
I do, too.
I really, really
it
do.
It ain't fair.
All right. The final nominations for the ESPY Awards are officially out today, teasing a massive celebration of the greatest sports contest of the year. Athletic phenoms Shohei Ohtani and Carlos Alcaraz topped the nomination ballots following an unforgettable year of global competition. The highly anticipated sports and entertainment crossover show will be hosted by a comedian I don't follow, Marcelo Hernandez.
Is he not the guy from SNL. Saturday Night Live? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, the guy that does Sebastian Maniscalco, right?
Yeah, I think he is something of a heartthrob on the cast now because he gets a big reaction when he comes out and does stuff on stage.
Yeah.
But he's done a couple characters that have really sort of gelled. He's very popular right now.
So if you want to watch the ESPYs, it's going to be July 15th next month. Check it out.
You should look at Marcelo's Netflix special if you don't want to laugh.
It's him talking about growing up around women, and that's it.
And
that's
it's not special. Funny. I wanted it to be funny, not. But it ain't. That's right.
He's good on SNL.
Yeah.
So it's World Cup going on. People are pretty crazy about it right now. Paraguay has declared a national holiday after World Cup upset. The government of Paraguay officially declared a nationwide public holiday after the stunning upset reaction at the World Cup. Fans took to the streets overnight after their national squad dumped four-time world champion Germany.
That's right.
Completely out of the tournament in a thrilling round of 32 penalty shootout. Media watchers say the unexpected victory has triggered an immediate explosion of celebratory videos trending globally across social media sites like TikTok and Instagram. Nobody expected Paraguay to beat Germany. And
well, you know what they say, Mike?
Deal.
Any given Monday, a team can win.
You never really, really know.
You
Did
never
you enjoy
know.
The game? Did you enjoy it while
I,
you were
I thought it was
it?
Great. I thought what was nice is the German team, not only did their uniforms match, but they all had blonde hair.
They were all fantastic Aryans.
Yeah. All the same height, too. 5'8".
I haven't gotten into it. I'm sorry. I try every year, and then I just can't. It's too long.
It is. That's
and it's
no
like
good.
The players are too far away.
And also, the secret timekeeping. Every time I look in, that throws me. Oh, there's more time. We just haven't told you about it yet.
And thank you, High Pro Cam. They did. They beat Germany in penalty kicks. Finally today, a Florida man is behind bars after his ambitious grocery store heist slipped completely out of his control.
Oh.
Police report that the suspect attempted to walk out of a supermarket with 75 sticks of premium butter strapped individually beneath his apparel.
I would have to think that it would be, you'd want an even number of butter sticks, or at least divisible by four, because how many packages are you going
to
open?
I think in summertime, it's not really a good idea to steal butter, but just my opinion. The greasy smuggling operation melted down in the heat, leaving a very obvious trail of evidence directly en route. And by the way, it's Florida, so we should mention that when you're talking about hot. It was directly, I guess, a snail trail en route to the exit line.
Yeah.
Store security easily slipped in for the apprehension.
Flipped.
And police say the slick criminal is now accused of my favorite charge, petite theft.
Ha ha ha!
Doesn't that sound sweet? Petite theft.
It is what we do in Paris when you just
and resisting retail detention. I guess these are real charges, but anyway, he slipped out and there was butter everywhere. It was just a bit. This is a mess. We'll be right back with more show. I want to find out what narcissists say, but if you like movies, but you feel that you need to bone up on your knowledge of classic motion pictures, well, you need to fix it. You got to get on the stick. But where do you start? You start with my favorite podcast, Hicks, Nicks, Sticks, Picks.
Great podcast.
The podcast about Rob's movies. Every week, join our own Josh Schroka as he watches a classic movie hand-selected by his co-host Rob Spiewak. What is it this week, fellas?
We just dropped it this morning, Viva Las Vegas, the Elvis Presley movie, and Josh's take on it may surprise you.
Now, you just do one of these a week, right?
Yeah, well, every week or 10 days or so, and we alternate color and black and white movies to keep Josh sane. But every one of them, I don't think I've brought a movie yet that Josh hasn't found at least one good thing about. There's been ones that he doesn't particularly love, but he likes something about all of them. And right. The ones that land with him always surprise me.
Will I ever be able to play on Hicks Knicks? Will I ever be able to play?
I told you when we launched it, you have an open invitation.
You just have to show up. I just have to have seen the movie.
All right. Yeah, well, that's easy, you know. Yep. Does it have to be a movie I have to watch for that occasion, or can it be a movie that you pick and, you know, say, hey, have you watched it? Well, you're laughing. What's going on? You need to know in advance
what we're going to be discussing, yeah.
We could have Mike pick the movie. We could have a special episode where Mike brings the movie.
Yeah. It would be called Mike's Picks, Nick's Sticks Picks.
Well, why? Are you Hicks?
No, I'm just working your name into the title.
And, Mike, we get on the telephone so we can press play at the same time.
Oh, watch it together.
Yeah, and watch it together.
Actually, the next movie we're going to watch...
The next movie we're going to watch,
Mike, is a short film that you would love. Not short, but I mean it's like 90 minutes. The Sweet Smell of Success with Burt Lancaster and Tony Curtis.
Have a good time, Josh. Whether it's a comedy, a horror, a western, a musical, color or black and white, watch the movie in advance and listen in. You might learn something, you might disagree, but you will enjoy yourself. So you have already, Josh Soroka, you have already watched Viva Las Vegas?
Oh yeah, I've watched it. I gave my opinion on it. It's out on the podcast now.
It's out on the podcast.
Believe it or not, Mike, his first, he had never watched an Elvis movie before.
I've never watched three minutes of Elvis.
And if people are going to tune into the podcast, they probably want to watch the movie too, right?
Oh, I think it's a great idea. Although I think it's entertaining even if you don't, but it helps if you play along. Sure.
You don't have to. Very good. Because Rob tells the story first of the movie.
How would you rate Anne Margaret in this movie?
She is discussed a lot in the synopsis and the analysis of the movie.
Anne Margaret is perfectly fine. I'm sure.
You know, there might have been some micro cheating with Anne Margaret during the podcast. The problem I have with Anne Margaret is Rob Spiewak. Why?
He's on that. I believe we brought up the word.
Is he gross when he talks about it?
Yeah, yeah. It's a little creepy.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to do sex. He's never known how to do sex on the show. I've got two kids.
I do it right.
I'm talking about talking about it. You're always gross.
Does he gross you out when he's talking about Anne Margaret?
It's just a bit much. There's a scene where Elvis is under the car and he slides out on a creeper.
Do you know what a creeper is, Mike?
A creeper is what you put on, you lie on your back so you can work underneath your car.
See, Josh teaches me things on the show too. I didn't know what a creeper was.
You didn't know that.
Yeah. No, because, but the problem is the entire movie, it's the entire podcast, it seemed like maybe with Anne Margaret, Rob was a bit of a creeper.
Okay, I get it. Sounds like a great episode. Just visit Hicks, HixNixStixPix.com or wherever you get your podcast. Tell a friend, subscribe, give it 5 stars, do all the things. By the way, the name is great.
It is a great name.
Hicks, Nicks, Sticks, Picks. Check it out. You'll like it.
I think you will.
All right, things that narcissists say. You've been trying to get this on the show for a couple of days now.
Yeah, now I wanted to ask you a question. Do you know why narcissists are called narcissists? Where the derivation of the word?
Yeah, Narcissus.
And what happened with Narcissus in Greek mythology?
Narcissus flew too close to the sun?
No, that was another one. That was Icarus.
Who was that?
Icarus.
Narcissus... looked in the mirror all the time, right? There was something about his reflection.
He spurned the advances of some royal or some godly nymph, and to punish him, the gods made him fall in love with his own image, and he spent the rest of his life staring at his reflection in the water where he withered and died because he couldn't stop looking at himself.
Wow.
He was very self-important.
Oh. Narcissus.
And also Narcissus is the genus for all daffodils, but I don't think that's related.
Isn't that also the story of Dorian Gray?
No, he would Dorian Gray
at
is someone.
Till he died.
No. Dorian Gray stayed the same age, but he had a picture of himself that got older.
And the rent stayed the same as before.
Exactly, right.
Okay, I get it.
And it turned out it was all a dream. But there are things that narcissists will say to you to play upon the fact that they want the person to be at fault, not the narcissist themselves, because the narcissist is so into themselves, they want to blame the other people, even when they're acting evil.
I get that. Yeah.
Watch out for people that say these things to you. You please react. At number one, it says, God, you're so jealous and insecure. A narcissist would say that to someone.
I got a similar thing from a narcissist I knew. When someone would say, this to me is one of the great things a narcissist will say, you're so sensitive.
Yeah.
And I would always counter with, no, I think it's you're so insensitive.
Yeah, that's true.
Correct?
Precisely. Yeah. They say that you're jealous and insecure because they actually feel threatened by your confrontation.
And they say that a lot, Damone.
They do say it a lot, Damone.
This is fascinating. All right.
They will also say, they'll try to make you feel special, not by saying that you're great, but by saying all of my exes are crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I get it. I get
it's like, you know, that's really not high praise.
But wait, they're not trying to make you feel special.
Well, they might feel special by not calling you crazy.
They're trying to make themselves feel special.
Yeah, but you see, if you're not calling someone crazy, that's not complimenting them. That's just saying
Bill
that
Harrison,
they're not crazy.
If you're going to say the name is wrong, a generic negative, you've got to be clearer and specify what you are referring to. Is he referring to the name Narcissus?
I think
is that
is.
What it is?
Yeah, and I think we got it right.
I thought we got it right. You know, come on.
A narcissist will actually come up to someone in a bad situation and try to stop it, no matter what they did. They'll say, "Oh, you're overreacting."
Yeah. Yeah, that's a biggie. That's an absolute biggie.
And then again, that is another subtle way of passing the fault off to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a compliment, you know, at all. But that's what they say. And then they will manipulate you with what is called love bombing. So if they feel they're not in totally control of the relationship, they'll say, I love you more than anything. And it's, again, trying to make the person feel special. But
well, hold on. That can be said, though, by a non-narcissist.
Yes, but what they're hoping is that your soft side will take over and you will forget all the negativity that the narcissist has done before.
Okay.
And then also they say, this is one of the things narcissists say in hopes you come back to them after you left, keeping you in a narcissistic abuse cycle.
You want a JLP Design says, you want a perfect example of an insecure narcissist? Check out your buddy, Nestor Aparicio, Rob. Do you know who he's talking about?
Yeah, he's a disc jockey. He's a sports host in Baltimore. I don't think he's a narcissist.
He is a narcissist. He comes across that way. But are you him buddies, Rob?
No, I mean, I've met him before. I like his work. I think it's great that he's such a fan of Baltimore. I love when people celebrate their hometown.
He's known in Baltimore as Nasty Nestor.
I think he puts a lot of the act on. That was always the thing I got. Because, I mean, there are people in the radio, and Mike, you'll back me up here, that are very narcissistic.
Yeah.
But almost everyone on air has a narcissistic attitude, if it's part of the show or shtick or not. But whether they're narcissists in real life, I'm not qualified to say, because I've not met him.
Any relation to Luis Aparicio?
That I don't know.
There's a trivia question for Josh. Who is Luis Aparicio?
Outfielder.
Wrong.
Isn't he hosting the ESPYs this year?
Shortstop for the Boston Red Sox.
Ah, you should have just guessed a Red Sox, because you know, Josh, that would have been
Luis
the answer.
Aparicio.
I knew it was a Red Sox. I was just trying to get the position.
Long time ago.
And is it a Red Sox or a Red Sox, since they spell it with an X?
It's a Red Sox.
Okay. Yeah, I thought so.
By the way, congratulations. Sorry, Nationals. Another win, 5 in a row for the Boston Red Sox. Quite a roll they are on right now. I am thrilled to that.
Are you referring, Mike, to the Boston-born and Boston Red Sox?
It's time to meet up. Wait, the Boston. What were you going to say, Josh? I'm sorry.
Nestor is, this says that he is first cousin, so once removed from Luis.
Oh, Luis Aparicio.
How about that? Yay. Look at that.
Yay.
I wonder if this narcissistic disc jockey comes up to his cousin Luis and says, hey, man, you have trust issues.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, I get it.
That's sort of gaslighting you, wearing you down, and making you dependent on them.
Would somebody read the last comment? Is it Doug Terralt?
I think
that,
so.
That would Red Sox are only 9 games under .500 now.
Well, hey, I mean, they're catching up.
They are gaining on the Orioles.
Yes, they are. Hallelujah.
Maybe a narcissist should go into the locker room. Do you remember the pep talks in the movie The Natural that they gave the team? Yeah, to the New York.
Losing is a disease.
The New York Knights. Mm-hmm. What they need to do is bring a narcissist into the Red Sox locker room and say, guys, you need to toughen up.
You have trust issues and need to toughen up.
A lot of times, parents will say this, narcissistic parents, instead of giving emotional support to their children, they will just say, you need to toughen up and not take their side.
Well,
did you get any of that growing up?
Let me give you an example of my son.
Okay.
Yeah, quite a baseball day yesterday. Pretty intense. Very, very hot. Like the hottest day we've had down here in a long time. And he's got a batting lesson followed by practice with his new team. And, you know, and he's just beating the crap out of himself as far as not being, not hitting as well as he wants to hit. And, you know, just got tremendously emotional. And I had to finally say, you got to get out of your own head. Yeah. You got to get out of your own way. And I wasn't coming at him like a narcissist. I was coming at him because I saw him. He was, you know, well, kicking the crap out of himself.
The very fact you're saying that is supporting him emotionally. Okay. It's not telling him to deal with it or fix it. You're saying, you're saying, I appreciate what you're doing, but you need to maybe take it in a different way.
Then I said, I love you. Michael, you need to call Nestor Aparicio.
Well, now, speaking of Michael, I believe he has Spanish in 5 minutes.
Oh, all right. So
Tuesday last time you got the reminder.
Wow. Okay.
All right, hold on a second.
That's like stalker stuff, Josh.
I thought he had Spanish this morning. Michael!
Maybe the schedule changed. Last week, I believe there was an interruption in the show around 4 o'clock.
Now, his buddy Donnie is here. So Donnie
Simpson?
They're at, yes, Donnie Simpson, the legendary BET host and disc jockey. Hey, man, let's go fishing for snook. Yeah.
You know, I
got to turn it up. Donnie Simpson. Yeah. Yes, Josh.
Well, I was reminded when you brought up Nestor again, is that my brother once went on Nestor's radio station because Nestor was hosting a contest for the next great Baltimore sports talk person.
And your brother wanted to give it a shot?
Yeah, Matt went and got the shot. He gave it. He got moved on to the next level, and Nestor said, or like it might have even been the finals. Nestor said, well, you have to come in tomorrow at this time. And Matt said, I got to work. And he said, well, then you're just going to have to skip work. So Matt didn't go.
Wow. But he was close.
Yeah. He came and did the appearance at like Hooters or something to do a trial.
Way to go, Nestor, you prick.
I don't know. I'm on Nestor's side. If you want to be a good broadcaster, you can't let a real job get in Nestor? The way.
How do you know a sports talk host, Rob?
He shows up on my feed all the time.
He's very annoying. He's very narcissistic.
I don't even know this guy.
He's very mad because the Orioles 25 years ago kicked him out because he decided to host a protest against the Orioles called Free the Birds, I believe was the name of his thing.
Okay.
So he got a bunch of his listeners to come and walk out in the second inning and protest in the Orioles. So he got all his press credentials taken away.
I believe his gimmick now, because he mentions it a lot, is he will go to a game if someone gives him tickets, but he will never buy another Orioles ticket for the rest of his life.
And he tried to reach out to the new ownership, and they would not let him back in, so he's pretty bitter.
I can't believe you two are experts on this guy, and I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
If you want to check him out, it is Be More Positive. This is
I like Baltimore Positive.
Oh, Be More Positive. Yeah. You know what? I think
be more
I want.
Positive.
Okay. Anyway, let's move on.
Mike, if you want to skirt any real responsibility for a situation or outcome, all you got to do is say to the person, well, it's not my fault. You made me do it.
Well, that's total so many arguments where people do that. But I don't think that's only the domain of a narcissist, but it is definitely a narcissistic thing to say.
Yep. As is, we're perfect together, which is another love bomb to keep people in the cycle.
Yeah, okay.
This one is a little tough.
Well, I've heard Mike tell you that.
Well, what's that? We're perfect together?
No, he was talking about himself in New Jersey, weren't you? Like
no,
Governor Tom
I was
Kane?
Talking about you and Josh at King's Dominion.
Mike, a way to make someone feel worthless is to steer the conversation towards the narcissist. They will say, God, no wonder no one likes you.
Wow. Yeah. And that's just nakedly cruel.
Demeaning and disrespectful.
And by the way, I think we have now, sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, one of the great narcissists of all time.
The greatest of all time.
A malignant narcissist.
And he'll tell you that there's been other narcissists, but he's the best. Strongest.
Have you seen the time that fireworks are going off this for 4th of July?
Isn't it like midnight or something?
They're going off at 11 p.m. because the narcissist has to speak first.
Oh, that's great. You know what? Because fireworks are essentially for the kids. Let's keep them out till 11
Good job.
And then have them get home from
D.C. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Way to ruin the 4th of July.
And that's if he stops talking.
You know, that's pretty... That's, even if you're the worst person in the world,
yeah,
wrecking the 4th of July, and especially wrecking the 250th birthday, 4th of July.
The Sester Quintessential.
That is really, you got it. That is really doing something if you wreck that.
I understand not only that, but J.D. Vance is responsible to light all the fuses. He got a full box of wooden matches.
Well, it's him and Rubio. Whoever survives moves on.
All right, give us a couple more, Rob.
Okay, come from narcissistic parents or partners, and it's sort of a callback. You're too sensitive. That's the one I mentioned to you. You're right.
That comes in when
you're losing an argument. How about a gaslighting phrase from a partner to convince you to ignore all the red flags and mistreatment? Let's just focus on the good.
Oh, yeah, there it is. I've heard these things.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking
about.
And
also, you're so selfish. That's a good way to derail an argument as well. Mm-hmm. Sort of like no wonder no one likes you.
Right.
You know, it's just they're trying to keep control of the actual argument. And all these things are evil, but even worse if you make the fireworks later. Saying to someone, you're a bad person. Mm-hmm. You're just a bad person.
I had that said to me.
Yeah. Also,
three wives have said that to me.
All of them?
No.
No, not the most recent.
No, I think the most recent's doing really good.
Now, at any point as the first two Mrs. O'Meara's were nearing the end of their run, did you ever say to them or did they ever say to you, well, you'll never find anyone as good as me?
I don't know if I use that particular verbiage, but I'm sure the gist of that was said.
Yeah.
And it probably was said by me.
Yeah,
I believe I
say it all the
time.
Yeah, I said it to my kids this morning via text.
Actually, what I said was, you'll never find, as long as you live, someone who cares about you the way I do.
Hey, Lou Rawls.
Yeah, Rob.
I have one of your quotes in here, something you always used to say to Mrs. Rawls.
Amen.
Mrs. Rawls, you would say, you need to stop spending so much time with other people.
Don't spend time with other people. Boo, woo, 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 woo.
And how about Lou Rawls? May I call you Lou?
He's gone, Rob.
Oh, darn.
I know what happened to him.
When they want to control an argument, they will often say, you can't go there or don't go there.
Don't go there.
I hate that.
I've said
it. Absolutely hate that. Also, if you're doing something that pisses off the narcissist, they can often belittle you by saying, you look stupid doing that.
Yeah. F the narcissist, Rob Spiewak.
And I hold in my hand the last narcissistic red flag thing you should avoid.
Da-da-da-da.
Anyone who says, I'm smarter than you, so you should listen to me.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty naked right there.
And it's, you know, it's not that, you know, I have a lovely family and I've worked with so many good people. And there's some people that are sort of right in that category, I think. It's weird.
Oh, yeah,
when you hear it
everywhere.
You hear it all sort of centralized there.
Very
so,
sad.
Nestor, work on that. Work
all
on
right.
that, Nestor.
We'll be back with more on the Mike O'Meara Show. First, I want to tell you, here's a suggestion. After a long work day, is your brain still working overtime, stressed out, keyed up, unable to shut off?
Yeah.
This Independence Day, declare your independence from all that noise. That's why we love Soul out-of-office THC gummies and drinks. They're made to help you relax, unwind, and actually enjoy your evening. Whether you want to kick back after work, sleep better, laugh a little harder with friends, or just quiet the mental fireworks in your head. Mm-hmm. Soul has you covered. The gummies taste great, the drinks are refreshing, and every product is made with high-quality ingredients and clearly labeled doses, so you always know what you're getting. Best of all, no hangover, no mystery ride, just an easy, enjoyable way to put your mind out of office. This 4th of July, give your brain a little freedom. Check out Soul Out of Office Gummies and Drinks today. Your mind has earned the holiday, and they're officially Spiewak and Soroka approved.
Here, here.
And Josh and Rob truly love America. They do. Don't
we
pause.
Really do. I can't wait. I cannot wait until the 4th of July at 11 p.m.
Give yourself the gift of a healthier unwind at the end of your day. Right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30. Count it. 30% off, ladies and gentlemen. We had an obsession a few months back with Timu on this show. And, there's a lot more coverage of two companies right now. It's Shein and it's Timu. And I think it's becoming really almost a replacement for our own retail operations. I think you get a lot of that.
When's the last time if you were just shopping, you weren't looking for something in particular?
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you actually went to a store to look around? I don't do it anymore. I usually go to Amazon through our website to find it specifically. Mm-hmm. But if I'm just in the mood to spend $20 on something fun, I'll put in a keyword of something I like, and I'll skip around. Team, it's like going to the Five and Dime in the old day. Yeah.
I have a story to tell you regarding the fine Amazon company.
Yeah.
Amazon retail company. You know, have you heard of it?
Yes. They have a website. I think they mostly sell books.
I got underwear there. I got, I basically, when
in
I went,
your pants.
You might find this strange, but on my trip up to Virginia, when I was staying at the fabulous airport Marriott, I departed my hotel room and I left, count them, two pairs of boxer briefs in the little drawer next to my bed.
I didn't know you were an unpacker.
Lucky them. Did you hear what he said?
I did.
Lucky them.
I didn't know that in a hotel you were an unpacker. I thought for a short trip you would leave everything and you'd operate out of your suitcase.
No, I'm a chronic unpacker. I like everything hanging up and in drawers within 10 minutes after I get in the hotel room.
Were they used or were they fresh and ready to go?
They were freshly laundered and
good.
And ready to go. And
autographed, of course.
He is just, look at him just poaching over there on the right
thing,
of
Mike,
your screen.
He's with a lot of family right now, and I think he's excited to talk to his buddies.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's nice to be there in the Outer
Banks.
We
have a nice full house.
Oh, that's great. Say hi to everybody up there for me. I was going to say that, I'm going to have to probably cop to my brand now.
All right.
I'm a Fruit of the Loom consumer.
That's sad. Why is it sad? Didn't you used to exclusively buy Nordstrom brand underwear?
Nordstrom brand boxer shorts go-to.
Yeah, back in the good old days.
Yeah, and they were, a little pricey, but they,
they feel great against the cheek, don't they?
You remember when I did the ad campaign and I said the Nordstrom boxers feel great against the balls? Remember that popular in the Post, the Washington Post?
Yeah, I remember
that.
And I also remember there was the print ad that underneath it was you posing, and it just said winning streak.
Right. And by the way, the TV commercial that ran on Channel 9, Channel 7, and Channel 4 was there was no audio at all. It was just the Nordstrom underwear logo up in the top screen, and I was going like this.
Those were the days, weren't they?
But I purchased on Amazon a 3-pack of boxer briefs.
Yeah.
What I didn't realize was that these particular boxer briefs, and by the way, it's the Getaway collection.
Wow.
Those are the ones that I wear.
I think Josh is thinking about the Getaway collection right now with all of his family in one house.
The Getaway collection, I wore them, and I got up in the morning, and I was going out, of course, to do what I always do, play a little
golf.
To get away. And in the evening, I noticed that I had purchased the wrong kind. that
different collection, different fabric. What was the variant?
Different size leg. I like a little more length in my.
And so you had like a mankini. Is what you bought.
Well, like the 5-inch instead of the 7-inch.
And then, I put a little show on for Mrs. O'Mara.
Oh, I'm sure she loved that.
That was, yes, it was. Yeah. I said, look at these. And I recreated, Victoria's Secret show with my looks.
We don't need to hear about the show itself.
We're having another child.
I was going to say it probably ended really well.
Excited to know that.
I love that.
So back to Amazon and got the right length. And, I think I'll occasionally wear, if I'm feeling frisky, I'll probably wear the shorter ones. But they're, they go about halfway down the thigh. That's what I want. I don't want the short length of
what's
pant.
The variety? What's the style that you wear? The sub
boxer
variety?
Brief.
Yeah, but the line is called what?
A getaway.
Ah, I see.
I want a getaway. Oh, or this is the, who did this, Rob?
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Get away. Power 105, WAVA. You want to get away, everybody? Yeah, sure you do. Of course you want to get away. Put on these boxer briefs. It's going to be a fantastic time. I hope I'm not stepping on this. There we go.
By the way, the Earth, Wind, and Fire documentary that's on HBO Max, Maurice White was a nut.
Was he really?
Yeah, and not all that easy to work with. A lot of great music, but the documentary left me feeling unfulfilled because I love the band really bad, and it was not a happy band to be in for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
And, you had Philip Bailey.
Yep, and I think a couple of Maurice White's brothers were
right.
in it. And it was a very odd sort of evolution of
Earth,
the band.
Wind, and Fire. You had Maurice White.
Uh-huh.
You had Philip Bailey. Yep. Mike Love.
Yep. He's a dick, by the way.
Carl Wilson.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's
Pete
Earth,
Best,
Wind, and Fire.
For a while, and then they got
Best,
rid of him.
The drummer.
Yeah.
They couldn't do anything without
But I
that
mean, it's
drummer.
Worth a look if you want to feel less about Earth, Wind, and Fire.
But I never got to the gist of why I brought this
up. Oh, yeah,
that's
right. Yeah.
I wrote this down. Is there anything you buy compulsively that you don't need? Now that I am on the Temu and Carla's on the Shein, I don't know what she buys, but I can tell you what I buy on the Temu somewhat compulsively. I buy sunglasses.
Yeah.
I buy sunglasses all the time because they're $11.
And regular glasses, too, for a while. Are you still buying regular glasses? Yeah. I hope these are like Elton John sunglasses.
Very difficult, very difficult name to pronounce. I think it's Supkley. Supkley, Supkley. Tell me what you think of these.
I love them. They're great.
Hey, man.
Let's see them in a three-quarter profile because I want to see the arm. Oh, okay, hey. They're wider arm. I have ones with a similar lens, but the arms are nothing like that. I love those. They're good. Are they polarized?
Isn't she lovely?
Hi, Stevie.
Made from love.
I do. There's one thing I buy a lot anytime I see it, and I've returned them, but normally I just tuck them away. Anytime I see a microphone that appeals to me that's under $20, I'll buy it.
You'll buy it?
Yeah.
How many do you have?
I've sold a couple microphones recently, but I think that from Temu, I've bought probably a dozen microphones.
Josh, is there anything you buy compulsively?
I don't think so.
Attaboy. No. Candy? No.
Well, candy. Yeah. Sometimes there's too much candy, but that's a need.
Mm-hmm. A need that you must
and
fill.
And I'll go through. Right. I'll go through. I will scroll eBay sometimes and find a new bobblehead or two.
Mm-hmm.
How can you not buy this microphone for $18?
Can you plug it in?
I can. Hold on one sec.
I
don't know.
If it works.
Mike, don't ruin things by making me test it.
I just want to see how it sounds.
Right.
If it
I'll
sounds
be back
different.
In a second. Hold on.
All right. Didn't know you had
to
travel to another state. Yeah.
He should just leave an empty cord for his microphones, maybe.
And try them.
I believe
Rob's
this is the one.
Microphone show.
I believe this is the SM57 guts inside of that microphone, if I remember.
Let's see if. Now I'd have to press about 20 different buttons to do that because we're switching. I want a bigger board.
But Rob could definitely do a show showing off his different microphones.
Mm-hmm. What's that attached to? Well, he can't tell us now because he's,
no, he's got a pole.
It's on a microphone stand.
Okay.
And I have to undo it because of the design of it. does not allow for the cord to go in while it's on the stand.
Wouldn't have asked if I knew it was going to be a fucking half hour for this.
But I am curious about what we were just hearing him through if the microphone's not plugged in.
Oh, I plugged it into mic two. That's over on the other side of the room.
I just really thought this would be unscrewed.
So he does have a mic two.
I do. Yeah, but that's a short.
Are you done unscrewing it yet?
Why wouldn't you plug
it fit now?
Why wouldn't you plug the new microphone into mic two and leave your regular mic up?
Because all of the
of the wire is run to that and held down with wire ties.
It sounds great.
Well, it sounds like a $20 microphone, doesn't it?
No, it sounds like, where's that karaoke machine?
Yeah.
It sounds like that.
But it looks great. It's a ripoff of a 55. And what Josh was trying to tell you before is that Shure still makes the SM55.
Talk into the other side, the back of it.
It's not a directional mic.
I got it. Okay. I understand.
But they put a 58 is the guts inside it. But this is neither a Shure nor a 58 nor a 55.
Okay.
All it has is an on-off switch. It's nice to look at, isn't it?
It's a nice big preamp.
All right, Rob, I'm going to give you a heads up because I need music for the commercials because you have some video. I hate to make you do things at the very end of the show because I know you're doing like 20 different things. So you just tell me when you're ready and I'll do a little commercial and then we'll come back and you can play your beautiful video. But I want you to get settled because I know you have a lot of things that are going on and that kind of overwhelms you occasionally.
Yeah, it does, Mike. You know, I have a very limited sense of direction and I panic. A lot of times.
Kind of like that microphone.
Hey, Josh, is it true that our exclusive Charlie's Choice coffee is still awesome?
It had some yesterday.
And have you been down to the roastery lately? The Peacock, or whatever it's called?
The Screaming Peacock. I have not been by recently. They just mail it to me now. But I'm
talking about Charlie's Choice, the best coffee in the world. You can still subscribe and you can still reorder because it's still awesome. If you're ready right now, prepare for Josh's answer. That's good news. What is this? What playlist did you fucking write for me to do here?
Mike, if you stick to the script, it makes perfect sense. You ask Josh. Look, read it. It says, ask Josh if it's still available. Wait for answer. And then you say that's
good.
Don't
ever do that
to me again. But we already asked.
Yeah, I did it on my own. I didn't need directions, all right?
I've done it before. I've gotten it right before. I don't like to give you so much to do. I don't like to give you so many things to do at the end of the show because I know it confuses you.
Well, no, I mean, it's just when you write a play instead of a fucking commercial, it's really hard to do, all right? So that's good news that they're still making it, Josh.
Yeah, it might even be available on our website.
Experience it. You got to have coffee, so we want to give you. Were you offended that I was saying I'm giving you lots of things to do? I was giving you lots of things to do.
I had the music ready.
Okay.
Sometimes
you don't.
I know. Sometimes I don't, but I did today.
Okay.
Don't go there.
Don't go there.
All right. We want you to have great coffee, and we want you to pair it with the best clam fritter. One of them. Hold on.
No.
Try pairing it with a clam fritter or a stale graham cracker. How's that selling coffee?
Because it goes well with everything. Mike, don't be lashing out.
You're really trying to fool them right now. Even a huge stack of nearly expired Lunchables.
It goes good with everything.
Charlie's Choice makes the best iced coffee you've ever had. And you need that in these hot summer months.
You do.
It's available in whole bean or fresh ground. Get a one-time order or save money with a subscription and get our exclusive Charlie's Choice blend delivered right to your door. So support small business and enjoy a cup of Charlie today. But unlike Charlie, make sure you don't eat the beans whole.
That's
a little rough on the colon. Get yours at the TMOS store at tmospodcast.com. Start your day right with Charlie's Choice.
Mm-hmm. Goes good with everything.
I thought you were going to play the Charlie's Choice thing.
No.
Because it's...
No, that would be too many things.
Yes, it would. It's the worst Charlie's Choice commercial ever.
I disagree. You know when he says, there was one in April that was worse.
All right. Steaming Charlie, because when Charlie says duh, it's got to be good.
That's right.
What do you have for us?
I don't know, but it's going to excel.
Beautiful
I know that.
Video. Jerry Todd.
Mike... Have you ever seen the kind of vacuum? I see they a lot of times they use them for cars. They put it on like a shop vac where it has a cyclone attachment. So the dirt comes into the suction part. It goes into a plastic sort of cylinder and spins around to separate dirt from. Yeah, separates dirt from solids.
Okay.
Well, there's this lady on YouTube that does a science-based series of podcasts.
Oh, Madam Science.
It's Madam Science, and she had a wasp's nest. Now, bees are good, but wasps, and some people call them yellow jackets, are no good because they're very, very mean. They will sting you, and they don't make honey. How did she get rid of them? Well, she didn't want to kill them. She just wanted to, as she said, relocate them. So what she did was suck them up in this vacuum, separate them from the dirt, and then put them in another gun and shot them far away. I'm not doing a great job of explaining it, but I think you will enjoy this.
I have a small sample of 30 yellow jackets, and we're gonna take this guy. They're all still pretty dizzy. We're gonna attach them to our launch, and we're gonna go relocate these guys. It's time, boys.
And thus we began dispersing them. I kind of wish...
It's hooked to an air compressor, so every time you hear that sound, they're shooting a bee like 50
parts. Individual yellow jacket?
An individual yellow jacket is being relocated
the yard. I've seen them use the vacuums to get bees out out of a nest, but I've never seen this in the... You know, it's fun for each bee individually, you know, because they're narcissists.
Don't you want to shoot each other, though, with it? Have two people.
It would be so bad if you had a bee... I mean, I've heard of a BB gun, but a bee gun would be
Tommy,
horrible.
You don't want me to get out the bee gun!
So anyway, you can do that. I personally, the best way to fight a yellow jacket's nest is fire. Mm-hmm. If you pour gasoline into it, that'll kill them all. You know, when you hear music on TV, sometimes you just say, I guess that thing always existed. You don't think of a musical theme or background or incidental music actually being recorded. This goes back to, and let me get the year right, 1997, when they wanted to update the theme to Wheel of Fortune. And someone brought a video camera into the studio, and this is being recorded in the control room, so it's not the proper mix that you hear on TV, but this is the actual orchestra recording the theme to Wheel of Fortune. I think this is pretty cool. Big band.
All froze.
Oh, they're big money. That's a big money session right there.
That is so, so cool. And, you know, in this day and age of AI-generated everything, it's nice to see some guys playing horns. It really
I love
is.
It. And, I mean, it just you would never think that they actually had to sit down and do that.
So. Tomorrow on the show, I would love to bring you, for you bluegrass fans, I would love to bring you a gentleman whose name is Michael Cleveland. You can check him out on your own, but he is, I believe, blind at birth, 80% hearing loss in one ear. And if there is a better fiddle player, bluegrass fiddle player, I have not seen this individual.
Absolutely
stunning. I'm sorry I'm tipping your hand already with that. Tomorrow I'm going to play a clip of his music. Absolutely. You know, and he really, really is amazing at what he does. And you can see him. He's got obviously some issues when you see the guy. But boy, absolutely incredible. Cleveland.
Don't they tell him that he's playing a banjo? That's a surprise. Let's close with this. Mike, Mick Jagger, as you know, the Rolling Stones have put
out... Don't encourage him, Josh.
The Rolling Stones have put out a recent album, and they're promoting it. And Mick Jagger was on with the Sunday Today Show and doing an interview with Willie Geist, I believe. And this is fascinating because he reveals his favorite Rolling Stones songs, but the best thing is the tight close-up of Mick Jagger to see the crevices in his face. I mean, they're, you know, those yellow jackets, they might be living in Mick Jagger's face.
Have a favorite Rolling Stones album. I mean, I think Sticky Fingers is really good. I think Beggar's Banquet is really good.
I think Hackney Diamonds is pretty good too.
That's the new one.
Some Rolling Stones albums that have 8 tracks. I mean, you only had 8 tracks. I mean, you know, you had 8 tracks and you were like 30 years old. Come on. What are you doing?
How about a song? If there's one song that you could look back and say...
Song. There's like hundreds of songs.
I understand, but if there's one you say, that is us at our best.
I mean, there's so many different styles. I mean, you're running the gamut of Sympathy with the Devil. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. You know, Start Me Up.
It's amazing to see all those clips and realize that's one band.
Look, I know you make,
all those years.
I know you make fun of the Craggy.
Yeah.
Look at the guy.
Oh, my God, I know.
I mean, really, what? Are we talking about mid-80s now? Are
I
we
think
talking
84, if I was forced to
84
guess.
84 and yeah. Looking like that?
And still occasionally touring and doing live shows and getting it done. I'm a fan. But
unbelievable.
Anyway,
unbelievable.
The only thing that surprised me is I didn't think Angie would be so far up, but Sympathy for the Devil, we are lockstep on that.
Boy,
that
oh boy. It's
song.
Like a time capsule, too. It really
I
is.
Know.
I mean, the way
I
you
know.
Look at them, and then you look at the one that Start Me Up, which was during my career when that yeah. broke, and I'm just like, oh, God, the clock on the wall. Help me, Rhonda. My God.
Did you know that for Start Me Up, they did that whole session with microphones they bought from Timu?
Timu! Yes, true. Great. All right, tomorrow, a little music, a little fun.
Look forward. To it.
We got to maybe 11% of what I plan to talk about on the show today, which means we'll have a good show tomorrow, too. We look forward to it. Thank you for joining us in the comments. We appreciate that in the chat room. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel and please hit the like button on the show today. We'd appreciate that. That gets us more and more and more. And we appreciate that. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Love you, Pop.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
A poop, a pants.